No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Ba-dump-ba-dump. Thank you for joining me, Rick Redding, on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is our 36th production, and things are looking up around here. I tell you, it's the last week of February. I'm very excited that a lot of activity is starting to perk up. I think spring fever is going to be rampant this year. Just because we've had such a dreadful winter season. So there's always good, exciting stuff here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll tell you, this week I have two very interesting guests on the show, along with my top five stories of the week of what's going on here in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. I want to tell you, later in the show, we're going to have a young lady named Dawn Yankee Love, who is a former Business First reporter, but has really built a entrepreneurial career as a sort of a technology expert. And she just recently went on a trip. She's back to tell us about it. And that is very interesting. Stay tuned later in the show for that. My top five stories of the week include one story. One of my top five is about our first guest. And I was really privileged. I guess you just never thought of it, but I think it's a big deal. The first guest is Shoni Schimmel. And for those of you who are not familiar with the University of Louisville women's basketball program, Shoni is an amazing young lady. She's a senior. She just passed 2,000 points in her career. She has a remarkable personal story. I'll get into some on the show. The team is ranked third in the country right now. They have a big week coming up. This is the final week of the regular season. They have a game with Cincinnati on Saturday. And the big one, the event that everybody in town is going to be talking about, is Monday night when they host the top-ranked Connecticut Huskies at the Yum Center. I understand there's already like 17,000 tickets sold for this game. It will be a phenomenal event, and if somehow the Lady Cards can come through and do something against Connecticut. They pulled the biggest upset in maybe women's basketball history last year when they beat Baylor in the NCAA tournament. There's no telling. You shouldn't doubt these players. It's a really, really good team, and the main thing is an exciting team to watch. So I was at an event a few weeks ago, and I met somebody involved with the women's basketball team, and I said, boy, it'd really be cool to have Shoni Schimmel on the Rusty Satellite Show. And, from such things, the real thing happened. I went over to the Student Activity Center and caught up with Shoni before practice the other day. She's I really like her and everything she stands for. So let's get into it. Here's my interview with Shoni Schimmel.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show comes to you from the Student Activity Center at U of L. I'm talking with Shoni Schimmel of the Lady Cards basketball team. Shoni, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
And just amazing week coming up for you. I know the recently had a big thing about passing 2,000 points and all that. A wonderful career you've had here. What about this next game with Connecticut? How are you going to – it seems like they're almost invincible. What's your plan for – you have a plan for beating them this time?
Yeah, you know, definitely our mind process is, you know, we have Cincinnati first, but then we got UConn. And so, you know, we're taking one game at a time, but at the same time, we think we can compete with UConn. And so for us to, you know, kind of take that first game where we played against them as a learning experience and, you know, continue to just keep – learning from when we play them time after time to, you know, just continue not only to get better, but, you know, maybe beat them.
Okay. Well, that'd be, now I know you've sold, the school sold a lot of tickets, and I was just wondering if in preparing with women's basketball, I know a lot of times you play in places where there aren't a lot of people watching, but this game is going to be, there's going to be a lot of people there. How does that affect you in terms of your approach to the game, just knowing that many people are there?
To be honest with you, I don't really, you know, think about it. You know, it's very special to have so many fans come out and, you know, support us, but at the same time, you know, I just, you don't really think about it out there on the court because, you know, you're out there playing. But you, once you hear them, you know, kind of cheering you on and, you know, getting you kind of pumped when you need to be, you know, you feel it. And so, you know, we're grateful for our fans because, you know, our fans have been behind us ever since day one.
Right, and I think during your 4 years here, certainly the level of fan appreciation has risen, and that, you know, I would say you have a lot to do with that. You know, it seems like I guess it's playing at the Yum Center. Now, I can't remember, you've played at the Yum Center your whole career, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And that facility is certainly, I guess you must feel like it's a privilege, or it's a great place to play, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's we're blessed to be able to have that because, you know, coming in, I had the chance to be able to go to Freedom Hall and, you know, and watch games over there. You know, it's a great facility, but at the same time, you know, the Yum Center is just 10 times better just because it's brand new. You know, it's in a great place, and, you know, for our fans to be able to come and, you know, be there and have the opportunity to share it with us, for us to play in it and them to also have the opportunity to be there and watch us, you know, it's right. Very special.
Okay. Well, now let's talk a little bit about you and you know, certainly for my listeners that haven't seen you play, that, you know, you're a flashy style of player. You're a lot of fun to watch, and I was reading up that I guess you call that res ball. Tell me what that's all about, how that phrase came to be.
Well, I grew up on a reservation, and so, you know, we kind of got the term, you know, res ball. You go out there and you play whatever you feel, you know. And so, like, if you feel like you're, you know, have a good shot and a 3-point coming down transition, you're gonna take it. And so, you know, it's just you playoff instinct, and, you know, it's something I've done ever since I was 4 years old, and, you know, I've just continued to keep playing like that. And I've also got the opportunity to sit there and, you know, throw the collegiate basketball into it with it, so it just kind of brought it all together. And so it's been a lot of fun being able to play basketball.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's certainly a very exciting brand of game, because it certainly watching U of L play basketball because of you and your sister and all the speed, I guess. Does the coach ever I don't know, does he slow you down or tell you not to shoot so much or anything like that?
No, not necessarily. You know, I've kind of understood, you know, time and score a lot better as, you know, I've gotten older. But, you know, he's been there to be like, hey, maybe, you know, let the shot clock go a little bit further down, then, you know, run some, get the ball reversed, and then, you know, maybe you'll be wide open, and then you'll have a better shot. And,
okay.
You know, he just shows me different parts of the game to be able to, you know, take a better shot, maybe.
Right. Well, you know, you don't score 2,000 points without by being afraid to shoot.
Right.
So, that's a very exciting part of your game. I want to ask you also about the, you've got a great following, but this what I've heard about the Native American following. I understand there's a lot of tickets being sold to people in the Native American community, especially for this upcoming game against Connecticut. How did that come about? Do they approach you, or did a group approach you?
To be honest with you, it just kind of happened. Like, you know, it's senior night, and, you know, a lot of people don't really have the opportunity to come every night to, you know, Louisville basketball game. And so I think it's very special because, you know, it is my last home game at home, but as a senior. And so people who didn't get the chance, you know, the first three years, and now they get to be able to come out, you know, on March 3rd, and it's just going to be very special because, you know, it's my last home game.
Now, Arthur, but But there's people coming from a long distance, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, on Twitter I saw a girl coming from Alaska, and there's a bunch of people coming from, you know, I think there's like 36 states that a lot of people are coming from. And so, you know, it's very special, and, you know, it's very honoring because, you know, I mean, these people are taking spring breaks early just to come out and, you know, watch us play basketball.
Right, for this one game. But, and of course, the regular season will end, and you know, of course, everybody knows last year y'all had this miraculous run, this win over Baylor, and you went to the Final Four and everything. It that seemed like such a storybook sort of ending. Obviously, you want to do the same thing again, right?
Right. We just want to win one more game. That's our plan.
I understand we're hosting a regional here, right? So U of L will. We'll definitely host. So how many games will we get to see here in Louisville?
Well, we have the Sweet 16 and then the Elite 8. So, you know, we get a couple more games here at the Yum Center after, you know, okay. March 3rd. So it'll be exciting.
Okay. Well, very good. And just one more topic I just want to ask you about your future and sort, you know, in the Final Four or not in the Final Four, your career is going to end at U of L. I've heard talk about you being in the WNBA or something else. What are your plans after this is all over?
Well, I definitely want to, you know, continue to keep playing basketball. And so, you know, my main priority is to play in the WNBA. You know, there's also the opportunity to go overseas and play basketball. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to stick around and play basketball, you know. Just my main goal.
Well, good. And I guess you'll probably – try to come back and watch your sister. Your sister will be competing in our senior year next year, right?
Of course. I'm really going to try and get back to, you know, be able to watch some of the games just because, you know, I want to be able to share, you know, her senior year and, you know, be able to come back and just show my support for Louisville basketball.
Yeah, very good. Well, you guys are ranked, in the top five? Where are you right now?
Top three.
You're number three. So, in the NCAA, you'll host this and I guess the thing I read was that it's likely that you'll be the only top seed. In other words, Connecticut will go somewhere else, right?
Oh, hopefully that's the plan. You know, for us to get a one seed out of, you know, the first four, and that'll definitely work in our beneficial because, you know, then UConn will be a one seed, and you can't put two one seeds at the same place. So,
okay, and I guess for this end of season thing, your family's coming in. Tell me a little bit about your family. We all know about Jude, but you have other family members traveling to.
Yes, here. Correct. My mom and dad are actually driving from Oregon to come over here. They're going to the Cincinnati game, so they'll be there for that. And okay. They have all my brothers and sisters. There's gonna be six of my brothers and sisters with them. Out of the, and then my older brother is going to fly over here with his wife and his kid. And so my cousin's also driving with my parents, and then my grandparents are going to be flying over as well. So they're all coming. Yep.
Yeah. I heard there was a sign up at the last game that somebody held up and said, Mrs. Schimmel, send more daughters. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we have one more sister. So, you know, we'll see how
old is she?
Out. She's going to be, she's in the eighth grade right now. So,
eighth
you
grade.
Know, she'll
be good.
Yeah, she is. She's left-handed, but yeah, she's good.
Plays that res ball. It would seem like that your success would spark a lot more interest, I guess, from college coaches in general into going into places where you came from and seeing other players like you, right?
Right, yeah. Gino last year during the tournament actually said, well, I need to get a helicopter, you know, to go out to the reservation and see more girls like this. But, you know, it's definitely an opportunity for not only Native Americans to go out there and, you know, hey, have a chance, but at the same time, coaches, you know, might have that interest in Native Americans, you know, to think that, hey, they might be able to do this, and they can, you know, because Jude and I have shown that we're breaking stereotypes.
Right.
So
there are other, I mean, there's other players.
Oh,
I
yeah,
guess.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of Native Americans out there who usually just don't make it out there because, you know, they get scared of coming off the reservation because they don't know what life is like outside, you know, the reservation. So they just don't necessarily, they haven't done it. And so for us to Jude and for Jude and I to kind of pave that path, you know, we're showing, hey, you can go out there and do it. You just got to go do it.
Well, was that transition that outside of basketball, the transition to the life of a college student at a major university, what was the toughest part about that?
I think being away from my family. I mean, we're very family oriented, and so for, you know, me to not have my brothers and sisters, you know, annoying me, you know, yelling at me, hey, help me do this, help me do that, or, you know, just playing basketball with them, you know, I miss them a lot. And for Jude to come here my sophomore year, it made things a lot more easier, just because, you know, you have some type of family here. And, you know, also I got a lot closer with my teammates throughout the years, and so it's been a lot easier. And, you know, you grow up, and so you understand that, hey, I can do this.
Well, good. Well, you certainly adjusted well. Congratulations on a great career here at U of L. And I've been to several games and really enjoy watching you play. So we'll be up in the audience for the big game on Sunday.
All right. Thanks. Good luck. Thanks for having me.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And thank you once again to all the folks down at the University of Louisville who made that interview possible with Shoney. Again, the game is Monday night, and as we get into my top five stories of the week, I believe that game deserves the top spot. On Monday night at the Yum Center, I believe they're going to get to a sellout. I heard some stuff today about the thing, and one last thing about Shoney I didn't mention in the interview, but Shoney does a lot of what we'll call the outside of basketball activities for the team. I've heard that the autograph line after games reaches a lengthy way, and she stays a long time after games to sign autographs. She's a hero within the Native American community, and you know, we talked in the interview about how far some people are coming to see this game against Connecticut. So beyond that, the Cards will host a regional in the NCAA tournament. We'll keep up with that, and hopefully another trip to the Final Four would be in the offing. You know, the Lady Cards made the Final Four last year, just like the men did, and it was quite a weekend for University of Louisville fans. So that's a big story. I hope you'll pay attention and cheer those girls on. I'm going to try to get out there on Monday night and see if I can make that happen. And my second story this week involves a story that just, you know, it gets under my skin that this can't happen here. But I've talked several times on this show about the legislation to allow casino gambling in the state and how it is hopelessly doomed, in my opinion. But this week there was a story in the news that Mayor Fisher had come out and held a press conference or talked publicly about the fact that if the legislature approves casino gambling in the state, that he talked to Churchill Downs officials and they would put the said casino downtown. Now, I think a casino downtown is a great, great idea. I think, you know, the Churchill Downs people are behind it. Mayor Fisher's behind it. Everybody's behind it. But, you know, the story is sort of like a lot of stories coming out of the state legislature. And that is, you know, their proposals, their ideas that they think will happen. But until some radical change happens in the state legislature, we're not going to have casinos in the state. And we're not going to have the money that accrues from that. We're not going to have the money that's going over to Indiana and Ohio and all those places that have casino gambling, but are, you know, our backwards, non-progressive legislators are not going to let that happen. And, you know, the story that came out this week, you know, had the usual quotes, and I don't blame them. The opponents were saying that, you know, that's a nice idea, Mayor Fisher, but, you know, ain't going to happen. So, despite the media's coverage of this issue, it's just not getting any traction. It's failing in the Senate. It's failing in the House. I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader if it ever happens. I want it to happen. I think our state needs it. But it's kind of silly for the media to cover these stories of Mayor Fisher saying that, well, if a casino happens, we'd have it downtown instead of out at Churchill Downs. You know, the hows and the details of where the casino would be are, you know, that's the second thing you got to do. First thing we got to do is get the legislation done, and that is not, as of yet, happening in the state. So that's a big story in the news this week. All right, in our third story this week, did you hear? Bill Clinton was in town this week. He was giving a speech in support of Allison Lundgren Grimes' Senate candidacy. She's running against Mitchell McConnell, and a big crowd gathered downtown, and Clinton made a speech. Grimes talked as well. It was a big push. They made a lot of money down there, and I was happy. But what caught me, and really what turned my attention, if you read there's a John David Dyke column at WDRB, and it is really typical of the Republicans on it. You know, everything's partisan, I guess, but. You know, it really seems to bother Kentucky Republicans that Bill Clinton is popular in the state. And so Dyke's column, and I think Rand Paul has come out with a statement that you know, they think that because Clinton is, whoever Clinton is supporting, you know, is doomed, because they're going back 12 years, 15 years, 20 years to things that Clinton does. Dyke calls him dishonest because he's... You know, because, yeah, he did make a mistake. He lied about who he was having sex with and all that 12 or 15 years ago. But as a politician, Clinton is really proved his worth. And he has done very well. And his career after his presidency has been really spectacular. He's been a great citizen of the world and done a lot of positive things. But it really does amazing. The Dyke column and the Rand Paul statements are just typical of what goes around all over the country. People criticizing the association with Clinton. However, Clinton is very, much to the chagrin of these people, is very popular, and he brings the people out, and you know, people really support him. So there were a lot of really positive things that happened during the during Bill Clinton's presidency. It's likely that Hillary is going to be the nominee for the Democrats in the next presidential election, and. I think it's just going to be a topic of debate, and it's just, you know, the Republican attack on Clinton for what he did, you know, the negative parts of what he did as president, and are just, I don't know, I don't buy the argument. Obviously, there's a lot of people who don't buy the argument. It's a divisive issue, only in that Republicans are looking for something to criticize, I think, in terms of the Clinton place in politics. I guess we'll put it that way, the Clinton's place in politics. So anyway, we're going to hear a lot more probably from Bill Clinton. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes another trip to town to see to support Allison Grimes. And I think it's going to resonate. Clinton did win Kentucky, unlike Obama. You know, now President Obama, he's a horrible his level of support in Kentucky is dismal. But Bill Clinton's is not, and neither is Hillary Clinton. So it's going to set up to make Kentucky an interesting political battleground, both in the Senate race and in future races. So there you go. That's what's going on in politics around here. All right, and now moving on. Did anyone see this headline at Insider Louisville? Thank God for West Virginia. A Gallup State of the State's Health Index ranks Kentucky number 49. That's right, we're 49th in this, in yet another measure of the health of our citizens. And, you know, the bottom five, you know, West Virginia is 50th, then Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, and Ohio. Above that, Arkansas and Tennessee. It seems like the Southeast is where the least healthy people are. And you know, obviously, this is due to our usual issues. There's smoking. We have poor diets. We don't do well with health care. But other states are taking action. And this is not to throw a dart at Governor Steve Beshear. He's put through health initiatives. Our mayor, Greg Fisher, has done a lot. But, you know, in the end, and again, I think if you would just take Louisville and not Kentucky, you know, Louisville would fare way up the list. I think if you took Louisville out of Kentucky and just took Kentucky, we would fall there below West Virginia in terms of health. And just so you know, the best scores, the most healthy states in the nation, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Montana, all those less populous states apparently are doing something right. I don't know. But, you know, again, our politicians in Kentucky and our citizens in Kentucky, we should all be making better efforts to improve the health of our citizens. And there's a lot of ways to do that, a lot of proposals on the table. And I just noticed it and thought it would be worth mentioning here on the Rusty Satellite Show. And on a brighter note, my final note this week, I plan to go to Actors Theater. Because the world of culture will be has its eyes on Louisville. We have this is the time of year for the Humana's Festival of New American Plays. It's just getting underway. There's a play Friday night called Partners. I'm planning to go see and hopefully we'll get a guest from Actors to come on the show. We had Kirstie Gaukel, the marketing or PR communications person on earlier on the show, but I'm really excited about the plays and hope to see as many as I can. I hope you will too. It's a really great thing that we have in our city and would encourage anyone to go out and see at least one of the new plays in the Humana Festival with Actors Theater. All right. So that's my top five for the week. And it's time to move on to our second guest. Is my interview with Dawn Yankee Love. As I mentioned earlier, she is started out her career, or my knowledge of her, as a reporter at Business First. Before I was there, actually, we didn't overlap or anything. But Dawn came to me with some interesting stories about her trip to Washington, some of the issues because this group she heads up, there's a lot of technology issues that are being considered by the federal government, and she got to meet with. With our elected representative. She met with John Yarmouth. She met with Mitch McConnell, and she said she didn't get Rand Paul, but she got members of his staff. And so she had the ear of the guys making the calls there. So I had plenty of questions about that. And here's our interview with Dawn Yankee Love.
And I am in the Heine Brothers in Westport Village with Dawn Yankee Love, who is knows more about technology than almost anybody I know. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I am chair this year of the Technology Association of Louisville, Kentucky. I'm not sure if you knew that.
I did not know that until we just talked. And what I wanted to ask you about, you told me you went to this fly-in in Washington, D.C., and to talk technology with our elected officials. And you saw, so I have a question for you. You saw John Yarmouth. Mm-hmm. And you saw Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
And you saw Rand Paul's office.
Yes, okay. Some of his policy advisors. Yes.
So who's the techiest?
Well, that's interesting that you would ask that. I would say Mitch McConnell's office had the most people present to listen to the conversation.
Okay.
You know, and the hot subjects as it relates to the Tech Councils of America, which is called TECNA, would involve patent reform, immigration reform, legislation around data breaches, and reforming the tax code so that we can have back some of the research and development credits that we've since lost in the last few months.
Okay, so this is like the nuts and bolts of stuff that we don't really read about on the front page of the newspaper, right? I heard you say immigration reform. Now, how is that a technology topic?
Well, basically, you know, in terms of tech workers, we've got to get them from somewhere, and the educated technology worker, analysts as well as IT programmers, a lot of them are coming from India, they're coming from other countries, Russia, etc. And so what immigration reform allows for is an opportunity to open up the corridors and have more visas to assist in bringing in the workers that we need to actually be the powerhouse that we are in America as it relates to technology. We need to grow, and
right,
this is a path forward.
Well, immigration is a real partisan issue, I know, does the stuff that you talked about, did you get one response from McConnell and one response from Yarmouth? Are they opposed on your issues?
You know, there was just a lot of good listening occurring and in the room at the time in both cases. I think the House is more reticent in terms of passing any kind of big immigration reform Bill, they're going to break it down into little pieces and parts that will be useful to getting the tech workers we need. And so that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, Congressman Yarmuth was listening to in terms of how he, you know, looks at contributing to that.
Okay. Now, your technology organization is based in Louisville. Do you have the same sort of, are there initiatives in the state government that you work on or that you're interested in?
Well, you know, we do some partnership with the Kentucky Science and Technology Corporation, and where we work with YPAL, the Young Professionals Association, to answer questions primarily in forum type settings. So we've had some sessions with Ted Smith, the innovation officer for the city, and you know, certainly interested on it on a state level. The focus of the fly-in was how can the state level and the city level influence the federal legislation, because ultimately that has a big say in how business goes, right?
Sure. So is this a big group that went up there, the contingent? Because I didn't know about the D.C. fly-in of these technology people.
Well, you're invited through the Tech Councils of America, and so we actually only had three delegates from Kentucky that were signed up to go. CompTIA, which is the IT Industry Association, had Lamar Whitman lead us, who is also from Kentucky, through this process. And then Jeff Smith, who's the CEO of Commercial Connect, he's going after the .shop application that you may have heard of, the new extension on the Internet.
I hadn't heard. Tell me, the .shop?
So there's a lot of new generic top-level domains that we will see as consumers in the next few years. Things like .horse or .gay or .music. These are domains that people are looking to gather as registrars, and there's a lot of opportunity to make money in these areas. But as consumers, you know, the extension of .com is really not enough anymore to, you know, have all the different domains that we want. And so that door has been opened by ICANN, which is the worldwide entity that handles that whole process. And they are going through systematically and looking at extensions and their value. And there was a process based on points and other committee-type work that the U.S. Department of Commerce actually figures into, since they were the originator of ICANN.
Wow, so I know .com and .net and .org, but now I'm going to have to remember how many more?
Well, that is going to be a number that will exceed several hundred.
Wow.
Okay?
I mean, dot
so,
horse. I mean,
some of them will
on,
be
dot
very
horse?
Sophisticated.
Really?
Yes, do we need a dot horse? You know, do we need some of these? And that is a big debate and discussion. Slowly but surely, some of them are country codes, so it's relevant only to cities or countries. Some of them are relevant to particular stores.
Wow, that's going to be a big change for people
to remember
and all that.
And from a searchability point of view, that will have some impact there as well. So in the next 24 to 48 months, we're going to see some real significant impact of this process that ICANN is going through.
Yeah. Now, one other thing, I want to move on to something else, but you mentioned as something that's important that I don't understand, the thing about patents. What exactly are patent trolls? Is that what you call it?
Yes. So we did have some impactful patent reform legislation go through, but the new problem that's being addressed in Congress is this whole area of patent trolls or patent assertion entities. What this means is that there are people that say that you are abusing a certain patent, and then they try to go to the consumer level and require payments. And these are people that have no interest or understanding of the patent. They're trying to basically require that demand letters be sent out, and they may actually not have a claim on that patent. And so there has to be
Sounds
some
like
new
a
laws.
Scam.
It's basically a scam.
Yes. It's a scam.
If we're going to be clear about
let's
it.
Let's get right down
these
to
are,
it.
These are people that are scamming as it relates to patents.
Can understand. Yeah.
And requiring cash payments from people that are not even directly involved in the process, like the average consumer.
Okay. Well, I get that. Now, Don, let's change the subject. I know that you were a Business First reporter even before me back in the 90s, right? And now...
The 80s.
You're this, yeah, the 80s. Oh,
yes.
But you've gone from that onto this career in technology. I mean, Tell me some of the high points of the journey from business reporter to president of this organization or whatever.
Well,
it is.
You know, I do. Of course, I wear a lot of hats, Rick. So, you know, I work in marketing and public relations as it relates to technology and healthcare. And so when I left Business First, it was an excellent opportunity. I mean, Business First was the foundation of how do you gather information and look at trends and make sense of it and then execute, you know, whether it's for, in the beginning, just stories that would explain, you know, various aspects of what's happening in the business world. But now, of course, I do more in the strategic planning, competitive analysis world. We get into the full marketing plans, campaigns, how do we attract and discuss the digital consumer, you know, those types of things. And then because of the interest that I have in my core business aspects under the marketing firm moniker, then we also get involved in the areas of technology councils and how do we make, you know, how do we have a voice in the industry? And so that's how I became chair of this new entity that I formed with Debbie Davidson of Humana.
And you're a real entrepreneur. I guess you've been on your own making your living this way since
1989.
Wow.
1989, yes. So, and I've done all different types of things. I mean, we work with clients that are doing software development type products. We work with hospitals. We work with, you know, startup entrepreneurs that have just an interesting idea. I'm currently working on a retail dental healthcare play that wants to expand not only in our state, but in several states. So you just don't know where it's going to take you. And the marriage of technology and healthcare right now is so strong. It's just fascinating to see, you know, what entrepreneurs are going to do next.
Well, I really like your explanation of what you got out of Business First. That, you know, mine was, I knocked out 3 stories a week. You know, that was about it. But I want to get to one more topic with you, Dawn, and that is your big event that's coming up in the spring related to the Derby and art. Tell me about that.
Yes. So in my other hat, I'm chair of the Lamenta Foundation, which was formed. My oldest daughter died in 2006, and she was an artist. And so I wanted to do something to give back to college art students. And so we created several years of an event called Anne Marie's Art Breakfast on Derby. So this is our 5th year. We formed the foundation officially last year, and we are basically working on initiatives related to arts and the environment. So we have about 25 artists. This will be at the Nucleus Innovation Center, $35 a ticket. And we'll have a acrobatic act from New York that'll be appearing.
Wow.
We'll have a Murray State graduate who is going to do some wonderful singing and participate in you know, the
and that is
music.
It sounds like a great event. Now it's Derby Week, right?
It's held on Derby Day.
Derby Day.
9:30 to 1:30, so it's pre-track. And you
know, some real courage to start a new event on Derby Day.
Yes, so we get about 200-300 people. It's fairly well attended. We'll have a silent auction component to it, and that's how we raise our money.
Okay.
So I'm very, very excited. I invite everyone to come out. You'll be able to start seeing posters in Heine Brothers and other places around town. In terms of buying tickets, you can go to our Facebook page, Anne Marie's Art Breakfast on Derby, or Lamenta Foundation, and you'll see the link to buy tickets online from showclicks.com.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Dawn, that's all the time we have. But look, we covered technology, your career, and Anne Marie's Art Breakfast all in 12 minutes. How about that?
That's pretty amazing.
Okay.
Oh, you could do that, Rick.
All right, Dawn. Well, thank you for coming in and talking with me on the Rusty Satellite Show.
I want to thank everyone again that's made it to this point in the show. You've downloaded the Rusty Satellite Show, with the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I really enjoyed doing this show, really enjoyed getting to meet Shoni Schimmel. Want to mention just one thing, and I hope we can, this Rusty Satellite audience on Louisville.am is, you know, we're one of about 8 or 9 shows that Dan Vonderhyde puts together here. We are approaching 100,000 downloads since Dan started this enterprise sometime last year. It's a really amazing thing. It's really catching on. I hope you'll spread the word, talk to other people, show them how to download. I just talked to somebody in my office today. I said, well, it's really simple. You just hit this little button here and go. So anyway, it's great that you're taking the time to listen to the Rusty Satellite Show. I appreciate it. Listen, there's a lot going on in Louisville right now. We're starting to feel the spring fever. There's go out and see the U of L women's basketball game at the Yum Center Monday night. Go see a play at the Humana Festival. There's plenty of live bands around town. There's a lot of things going on. It's still, if you remember last week's show, we talked about Restaurant Week. It's still going on. I went out to Bourbon's Bistro recently and did their deal. The $50 for two people to have a really nice dinner. So there's a lot of good reasons to get out of the house and go enjoy what the city has to offer. So I'll be paying attention to the news for you and be back next week with another of my top five stories and two more of the most interesting people in the Ville as my guest here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.